Now the stereotyped 1950s household roles of men and women are mostly a thing of the past, but how much have our ideas about gender roles changed since then, especially for the youngest generations? A survey commissioned by Plan International USA asked adolescents aged 10 to 19 to find out what it means to be a boy or a girl in today's society. Claire Kane Miller is with us, correspondent from the New York Times, where she writes about gender, families, and the future of work for The Upshot. She wrote about the results of the study in a piece, Many Ways to Be a Girl, But One Way to Be a Boy. Claire, welcome back to Central Time.
It's great to be here.
Also joining us is Tressa Undum, a partner and co-founder of Perry Undern, the nonpartisan public opinion research firm that conducted the research. Tressa specializes in understanding public opinion toward gender equality, healthcare, and other policy issues. Tressa, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Tressa, we talk about a lot of surveys here on the show. It doesn't seem like there are so many surveys asking adolescents, kids age 10 to 19, questions. What were you looking for in this poll?
Yeah, it's a good point. It's a very difficult survey population to survey. You have to get parents' consent. It took us, we were in the field for 2 months. It's a very rigorous survey and takes a lot of resources. So kudos to Plan for commissioning it. We wanted to really just explore. I mean, this was almost like an academic study. We wanted to explore the views and experiences of girls and boys when it comes to sexism, gender equality. We asked about social media. We asked about online porn. We asked about, do you feel judged as a sexual object? And we probably had over 100 questions in the survey. It was a really robust survey of, again, just trying to figure out how teens or 10 to 19 year olds, teens and younger adolescents feel and experience issues related to gender equality.
And Claire, you write a lot about gender. Looking at this report, before we dig into some of the details with Tressa, was there anything in here that really struck you?
One thing that really struck me is that girls have clearly received the message that now we've been, teaching girls for a couple of generations, but it was very heartening to see that they've received it, which is that they can be anything they want to be. They can do science and math. They can play sports. They can become leaders. In fact, girls were slightly more likely than boys to say they saw themselves becoming a leader. So these things seemed like a really good development. On the other hand, girls were extremely likely to say that society valued them most for their looks and that they felt unsafe as a sexual object. So clearly they're getting this mixed message. And the other thing that struck me is that boys seem to have been left out of this conversation about gender equality almost entirely. The messages that they're getting are really the same messages that they were getting in the 50s. It seems like, don't show your feelings. It's important to be strong and tough. Boys don't cry, this kind of thing.
Tressa, let's start with the girls' side of that equation. Claire, laying out kind of a good news, bad news story. Can you tell us a little more about what girls in this survey had to say about their wider access to different gender roles, but also the downsides of being judged for their appearances, the fear of, in reality, of sexual harassment?
Well, just like what Claire said, I mean, when it comes to their ambitions and their life goals, girls are far more likely to say it's a very important life goal to have a successful career, way more likely to say that than have, a goal is to get married and to have kids. In fact, they're just as likely as boys to say a career is important. As Claire said, a little bit more likely to say consider themselves a leader and all of those positive things. In terms of, one of the most surprising things to me in these data is just the degree to which girls and boys are in an environment just immersed in sort of the sexualization and objectification of girls and women. As Claire said, so boys get the message that the most important trait in boys is strength and toughness. Girls, it's being physically attractive. Half of girls look in the mirror at least once a day and imagine how others might see them. That's compared to 31% of boys. In I was speaking to this environment, this sort of sexualized environment. Two-thirds of girls say they're exposed several times or more to women and girls in the media who have unrealistic bodies. Half say that several times a week or more they see female characters in TVs or movies whose bodies and looks are more important than their abilities. A majority of girls say they hear boys making sexual comments or sexual jokes about girls at least several times a week. And when you look at teen girls, so 14 to 19-year-olds, 47%, so almost half of teen girls say they hear boys making sexual comments or sexual jokes about girls every day. And even one in four younger girls hears these comments every day. And boys pretty much say the same thing. They say, you know, they're likely to hear these comments in Hollywood. They're likely to hear males, characters in TV in Hollywood making sexual comments and jokes about women. Half of boys ages 14 to 19 have heard male family members make sexual jokes or sexual comments about women. And especially hearing those comments, sexual jokes and sexual comments about women is correlated with a lot of surprising things in the survey too, and sort of other types of pressure around hiding your feelings and having less egalitarian views toward women and more likely to feel it's okay to ask a girl for a naked or sexy picture. So yeah, we have a lot of findings there around just the climate around women, girls, and you know, sexualization and objectification.
And Claire, you also spent time interviewing several sixth grade students, so at the lower end of this age range surveys, and you talked to them about their experience with gender. What kind of responses did you hear? How did they match up with these survey results?
They were actually in eighth grade, but very close to that age, and they really reflected what the survey showed. So at this middle school that I went to, there were a couple girls on the football team. Girls made up the vast majority of the student council members. They said they wanted to be, you know, scientists when they grew up and lawyers when they grew up. They said math and science were their favorite subjects. They said they really felt that they were equal in school and in their lives to boys, and people treated them that way. And so that confidence was on display. At the same time, they said that despite all that, they felt that what society valued most in them was their looks. And, you know, they felt either that they were hearing from their parents, you know, it's important to grow up to be a good wife, or they were hearing, you know, from the media that being physically attractive was the most important thing, or they were hearing from boys who, you know, asked them for sexy pictures on a regular basis by text message, things like this, where they were really getting those double messages that the data found. And then the boys I interviewed, it was slightly heartbreaking because they, you know, some of them talked about how they played sports and they thought, you know, being tough they also had a disconnect where they said most important to them was to be confident and ambitious, but they thought that what society valued more in them was to be tough and strong. And some of them played sports and said they didn't feel comfortable expressing their emotions except when they were playing sports, and then they felt like they, you know, could give themselves the freedom to get fired up, as one said. Others who didn't play sports said that they felt a lot of pressure to do so. One said that he didn't feel like he was a real man because he wasn't physically strong and he didn't do activities like that. He had started a coding club at school and wanted to be a computer scientist, and was really feeling the pressure that this was not the traditional expectation. One said that he had wanted to play volleyball, and apparently that is a girl's sport, and so he had been made fun of for that. And so, you know, what the survey found, what other research has found, and what these boys described to me is that there's much less flexibility for boys. There are much narrower roles that they're expected to be in, and going outside of those roles at all, you get a lot of feedback that that's the wrong thing to do, in a way that girls' roles have really expanded much more.
Talking to Claire Kane Miller, correspondent from the New York Times, and Tressa Undom, the lead researcher from Perry Undom, who led a study of the views and experiences of young people related to gender. And that's what we're talking about. And you can join in at 800-642-1061. 1, 2, 3, 4. Are you in this age range, 10 to 19? What do you think about what you're hearing? What do you see as the expectations of boys, the expectations of girls in your school, in your group of friends? Do you have the freedom to be and do whatever you'd like, do you think? Do you feel pressure to act a certain way? And if you're a parent or teacher, love to hear your perspective on this as well. Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our conversation about a new study that asked adolescents how they feel about gender and gender roles in today's society. Claire Kane Miller is with us from the New York Times. She wrote the piece, Many Ways to Be a Girl, One Way to Be a Boy. Tressa Unum led this research on the study, asking people age 10 to 19 their thoughts on gender. You can join in on at 800-642-1234. If you are a young person yourself or a parent or a teacher, what do you see going on in your community, in your schools? What are the unique pressures that girls and boys face? Do you feel limited by who you are? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Tressa, before we go to our callers, I want to pick up on what Claire was saying about boys earlier, this lack of flexibility. In this survey, did you get a sense that boys were kind of policing each other to stick with that perceived gender role?
That's a good question. I don't know that that's something that we could uncover in the survey. But as Claire said, we did ask, you know, and most of the interviews were conducted on the internet, either online through smartphone or whatever. So I don't think there was a lot of, you know, I think we got some pretty honest answers, but we did ask about, you know, do you feel pressure from friends, from parents, from teachers to be a certain way? And as Claire said, 72% of boys in the survey feel that pressure from others to be physically strong. Boys feel pressure to dominate and be in charge of others. Boys feel 44% of teen boys feel pressure to be violent, to be willing to punch somebody if provoked. So these stereotypical, you know, as Claire said, sort of decades ago, what you would think, we're still seeing boys feeling pressure to do that. I think that sexual comments and sexual jokes, that is probably something that is, you know, there's sort of a group effect there. And about 40% of teen boys say they feel pressure to hook up with a girl, and probably a lot of that comes from peers as well.
And in talking to eighth graders, did you see that too, Claire, how boys might pressure other boys in these situations?
Yes, absolutely. That's where they said they heard a lot of these messages, you know, you shouldn't be on the volleyball team, you know, coding is you know, dorky, you should play sports, those kind of messages. They were hearing them from other boys. They were also hearing other boys, you know, make sexual jokes. It's, you know, about how they appeared to other boys. And I also interviewed a number of social scientists for my story who've studied this age group, and they said that policing is one thing that they definitely see among boys, sort of policing one another as a way to enforce some of these societal expectations.
Let's bring on a caller now. Kelly is with us in Cascade. Kelly, hi.
Hi, thanks for taking my call, and thank you for this very important conversation. So my situation is a little unique. We have two young daughters. In the past several years, I took over working full-time, so that my husband, who had pursued a career, he left the arts, he wanted to pursue the arts. That was not encouraged when he was younger. He eventually went into banking, which is a very male-dominant job. He left a three-digit income to be a stay-at-home dad. So I went back to work full-time, you know, went through getting all of the benefits. He is a stay-at-home dad. He's taken up cooking. He's kind of jack of all trades. It's a completely thankless job that he really has taken it on, and he's gotten a lot of flack from a lot of people over it. I think either people are just passively watching to see how that goes, or
Interesting. I'm going to jump in, Kelly. So we've got an adult feeling some pressure on gender roles, but I wanted to ask about maybe role models. Are kids seeing men and women in different roles now? And maybe that influences what they think of gender roles. Tressa, do you see any of that?
You know, I think we asked in your household who does most of the cooking, who does most of the cleaning, and frankly, it still tends to be the mom who does most of those traditional roles. We also asked outside the family, what famous woman do you most look up to? And we said famous because we wanted, you know, we didn't want them to say their mom or a family member. But are there role models out there, women role models, and sort of what roles are they in? The biggest response is no, there are no famous women I look up to. 51% of kids say that, respondents say that. And then the next most common answer is a celebrity actress or singer. So again, not quite. I think when I think about that, when they're seeing still some traditional role models in their home, and then they're looking at the famous woman, the sort of role model they're looking at is a celebrity actress and singer, who they are also more likely to say, you know, those women are valued a little bit more for their bodies or have less, you know, less realistic bodies. I think that's telling.
In our last few moments, Claire, did you see that, the role models kids pointed to when you talked to eighth graders?
Yes, they did say that some of them who came from more conservative families said that they were getting, you know, pressure to perform more traditional roles, and they were saying that older people, like their parents, just didn't understand that younger people were doing things differently. But a lot of them also said that they saw people in their lives who were doing different roles, that they saw that they knew a couple stay-at-home dads, that most of the mothers that they knew worked outside the home. And from the social science research that I've read on this, it says that, you know, your actions speak much louder than your words to children. So if you say, you know, boys and girls, men and women should share the load, boys and girls can do whatever they want, but in your house, the man, you know, goes out and makes the money and fixes the car, and the woman does 100% of the cooking and the laundry, then those are the messages that the kids are going to pick up. So.
And that's a good place to leave it. Thanks to both of our guests, Claire Kane Miller from the New York Times, Tressa Undum, partner and co-founder of Perry Undum. We've been talking about the research that Tressa did on gender roles and attitudes surveying adolescents age 10 to 19.